He said, I will send you pastors and teachers after my heart. Say, Lord, thank you, because that word is being fulfilled. The word has been made flesh. Yeah. Thank you for keeping that word. Thank you for keeping that word. Lord, please grant him utterance that as he speaks, Lord, oh, my life is being blessed for it. Give him utterance to God. Whenever he takes a detour, Lord, I'm being blessed even in that detour. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Begin to wrap up your prayers in thanksgiving. He's a faithful God. He has heard you and is sure to do it. The glory is yours, Father. Honor is yours. Adoration is yours now and forever. In Jesus' most powerful name we have worshipped. Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I assume that you are alive and you are blessed. So give me a very warm answer. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All
right, let's quickly take our declaration of understanding as we usually do before we start studying the word of God. If you are ready for that, say amen.
Amen.
Now let's do it like we are blessed. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. Last Tuesday, I wanted to introduce something, but then we had to take that off the series list because of the direction in which we ended up speaking. So we're going to go back again today, and hopefully we'll be able to settle on the matter of prayer, which was what I wanted us to discuss last time. It didn't work the way I planned it. I believe we obeyed the Holy Spirit anyway. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Judges chapter 11. Again, we read that last time. Let's read it again. So today will be, if it flows, of course, the beginning of this series that I want to teach on for some time on how we pray continually for ourselves. How we pray continually for ourselves. Everybody say, don't settle for less.
Don't settle for less.
Say it again.
Don't settle for less.
Say it one more time.
Now
you are instructing somebody around you. Now tell yourself, I will not settle for less.
I will not settle for less.
Say, whatever God has provided for me,
that I will accept,
that I will possess,
and that I will live in.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Let's open our Bible to the book of Judges chapter 11. I want to read that story again. The story in which the sons of Ammon were feeling very powerful and they felt that they should take some of the land that the people of Israel were occupying. That was in the day of the judges, on the days of the judges. And of course, the story is about how Jephthah was called to come and lead the people of God in battle against the Ammonites. And then the offer of peace he made to them first is that letter he wrote them that we are reading again today. Now, where we are going, just one verse I want to take from there, but I just like the context. All right, so let's read from verse 12. As I often do to save some time, I may skip some verses. Say now, verse 12. Now Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the sons of Ammon, saying, what is between you and me, that is, that we are quarreling, that you have come to me to fight against my land? The king of the sons of Ammon said to the messengers of Jephthah, the reason why I'm fighting you, essentially they said, is because Israel took away my land when they came off from Egypt. Now they say, please return them peaceably now. That's verse 13. In verse 14, Jephthah replied. He sent messengers again, and they said to him, thus says Jephthah, that is, they said to the king of Ammon, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the sons of Ammon. Now, please, the next few verses was giving an account of what exactly happened. He now said, verse 19, and Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, not the Moabites, not the Ammonites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, please let us pass through your land to our place. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people and camped in Jahaz and fought with Israel. The Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Remember, it's Jephthah that's telling this story by his messengers. And they defeated them, that is the people of Sihon, the Amorite. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. So they possessed all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok, and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. So now, the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before his people Israel. Now, king of the Ammonites, king of Ammon, are you then to possess it? That this is our God that took this land and gave to us. Are you then to be the one to hold the land? He said, do you not possess what Chemosh, your God, or Chemosh, I don't know how to pronounce that, so just let's assume I'm right, okay? Verse 24. Do you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God has driven out before us, we will possess it. Did you notice that? Is that verse that made me read all of this? Essentially, what did he say? He said, we keep whatever the Lord our God gives us. That's New Living Translation. Whatever God gives us, we must possess. Now, let me remind us of something that we all know. I tried to introduce it last time, but then we went in the other direction. God gives you something, you have to go in and possess. Did you get my point? Let me say it again. If God grants something to you, he has a way of not just letting it fall straight into your hand. You have to get up and do something to collect the thing. That's just the rule of life. That's how the realm of the spirit works. The fact that you've fallen, I've seen people, yeah, very common, I've seen it, a lot of preachers are preaching, and they use their life to tell, how do I say this now? They try to build a doctrine. For example, you're sick as a preacher. Are you getting my point? And anybody can fall sick. Do you get my point? But that is not proof that God does not heal. Did you hear what I said? No, I'm not sure. Did you hear what I said? You are a preacher. You prayed and prayed and prayed. You did not get healed. It doesn't mean God doesn't heal. You don't define doctrine by your personal experience. You can use your personal experience to explain doctrine. Do you get my point? Yeah, you can. But you don't define doctrine by your experience. Let me quickly say something about rights. And now, which word do I use now? And sacrifices.
Yes.
Yes, that's a very good word. Rites and sacrifices. As Christians, we can take hardship. Are you getting my point? Yeah, we can. We can give up what we have for a higher cause. I give an example of the time of Pi Elton. The Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And blessed is the person that has what? A quiver full of them. Now, so, to have a large family is not a bad thing. This modern day tries to make you look like, you see it in posters everywhere. How many people do you, when they want to put a family up in a poster, how many do you see? No, how many persons?
Four.
Who are they? Father, mother, and then a son and a daughter, two children. How many? Four. So each, now you may not realize that unconsciously that is presented to us as an ideal family. Now, for your information, by the rules of demography alone, that's even wrong. Yeah. The population of this earth cannot be sustained like that. Population will be declining once the average number of children per woman is less than 2.1. Average, you know, it's average. At 2.1, you maintain a steady population. Now, for many years, let me not get carried away with this, but just an interesting gist. For many, I grew up trying to prove to us that, you see, one of the problems of Africa is large families. Have you heard that before? It's not true. Poverty is not because of large families. Ignorance is not because of large nuclear families. But let me not sit on that. Right now, most of the world is suffering a population crisis. Many of us may not realize. But right now, I don't think the population of the world is growing. China is declining. All of Europe is declining. Do you understand? U.S. is only growing because of immigration. There's a reason why Canada threw their doors open to start bringing people in. They were declining. All right? And they said for a long time, if you remember this theory of, is it Malthus that said that population will outgrow food supply? Yes, it has been proven again and again to be false. He said population grows, is it geometrically? Meanwhile, food supply is going arithmetically. So we'll soon outgrow it and they will now start fighting over corn and beans because it will be too many. It did not account for many things that God will give to us. One of them being technology, advances in technology, in which you can grow. You know, now we can grow crop, we all know about on flat ground, but now you can also grow crop in high-rise building vertically. The yield of cassava, from the time I was a little boy to now, on the same plot of land, has more than doubled because of advances in technology. But that's just a small aside. I just felt like gisting about it a bit. Don't ever tell God he doesn't know what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. So the world taught us again and again that children, too many children are bad. That is many children, not too many, because what do you call too many? But the scriptures make it clear that it's not true. It's not true. Well, Pyelton, the man I was telling the story about, had only one daughter by choice. Is it that he did not believe the blessing of God? No. That's where I'm going. He said, we've talked about it many times here, I have a lot of work to do. And that does not include raising children. That's the summary of it. So he had one daughter before he came to Nigeria on his mission work. He and his wife, and they did not have other children after that because they had a lot of work to do. That is what they call a sacrifice. You hear what I said? That's a sacrifice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
You will not want, amen?
Amen.
Lack is not your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But Paul said many nights he went without food. Is the word of God therefore not true? Of course it's not so. The word of God remains true. And the prayer I just prayed is still true in your life despite the experience of Paul. Paul said it. Why was it like that? He said because, let me just summarize it. That was what was required for me to advance the ministry. I had to go through difficult places. And Jesus has said to him before, you will suffer many things for my name's sake. Now, so as Christians, we are able to endure hardship. Hardship does not, now we don't mean that hardship is the will of God. We are saying that we can endure. I'm one person that does not, of course, there's another issue about that. I don't believe a lot of the gospel of, or the message, let me not use the word gospel. Let's not mess up that word. A lot of the messages of prosperity people preach these days, I don't believe in it. God has never promised everybody that all of you are billionaires. You know why? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. What he promised is that he will supply all your needs in abundance. Every need in your life will be supplied. Now, not only will it be supplied, it will be supplied more with more than is required so that you can be generous and help other people. How he's going to measure it, it doesn't concern you. So God is not in the race of making billionaires. That's the point I'm making. However, he supplies all our needs. That's what he has promised. You have a right. In fact, you have not just a right, a duty as a believer to believe God so that all your needs are met. Every single one, no matter how difficult it appears to be, by faith, you have it met. If you have a need that will require 100 times cash-wise now, that's money-wise, 100 times your annual income to meet, it is the Lord's duty as a father to meet that need. How he would meet it is his own. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's his own. It's his own. Well, give me a word to use. I don't want to say headache. The Lord doesn't have a headache. Prerogative. Is that a good word for that? Anyway, how is his own? Okay, yeah, I have a sinful word. Now, why are we even breaking our head? His own business. Is that not a good word? Yes, how he will meet his own business. Let me just say something to you. Don't ever downgrade the Lord's power to meet your own imagination. Are you getting my point? They told that man that by this time tomorrow, one bag of rice will be going for 2005 in Ogwete. He burst into laughter. You are crashing the price by more than 80%. No, more than 95%. Between now and tomorrow. If you ever hear things that appear so wonderful like that, just say, as the Lord wishes. Even if you don't know how to, you know, there are things that will sound too wonderful. The Lord asked this man one time, what's the name of that prophet? Ezekiel. He saw a valley full of dry bones. He said, can these bones live? You know, the guy, look at the Lord. Look at the bones. He said, you know, thou knowest, Lord, that don't ask me. You are the one that knows whether these bones can live or they can't live. Me? I have no idea. But don't ever say, I've been saying that. Don't ever say things like, even God. That's a statement you must never make. Even God. What killed that man? Even if God were to open the windows of heaven, can this one happen? Once you bring God into a picture, behave yourself. If they say, can a human be run across the Atlantic and get to the United States in 2 days? You say, no, that cannot be done. But if God, I say, God can do anything. No. Even your mind, why won't God just give him a plane? You know, get my point? Naturally speaking, it's not possible. God has given me a very nice way of speaking in that area. I always say, accept God. Accept, you know, I drop it into impossible things. I said, at this point, only God can say, this person is very sick. Oh. Maybe because of my knowledge as a doctor, I just say, at this point, it's only if God speaks. Do you get my point? Yeah. Don't ever forget that. You must always drop it into things. Because with God, literally, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. So if you have a need that it will require 100 times your current annual income to meet, just say, God can do it. Are you getting my point? Don't say, no, there's no way. Don't say there's no way. Even if you can train yourself to say, so that when you mean to say there's no way, you've started saying by, at this point, only God, this is the kind of thing that only God can do. Do you follow my point? Say it. Just keep talking. In fact, what I want to teach about is that talking habit. I'm some of this, so just differentiate between, now that I use those words, something and sacrifices. Rights and sacrifices. We often lay down our rights. We often do that. I'll give a very good example. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. God gave a word that he will give Adam a wife, and every man that believes that word, God will fulfill it in the person's life. Yet Paul says something. The kind of work I have to do, let me paraphrase again. I don't want a woman wondering whether I shipwrecked and I died when I travel, different my formation. Let me tell you how Paul used to live his life, so you get the point. Paul's life was like this. He says bye-bye from Enugu. The next time I see him in Enugu is in 3 years. The next time you see him is 5 years. He will get to Onitsha.
Please, do you have a word for the brethren? That's the next 6 months. Onitsha people will now say, bye-bye, sir. They package some things and give to him to help him on his way. Then he gets to Shagam and he locks down there for the next 2 years. From there, he might forget Lagos and divert and he's going all the way to Maiduguri. And you will not see him for another 2 years. He will sit down in one place and be teaching every day for 2 years. Paul reasoned that it will be wickedness to be dragging a woman around like this. Even though the Bible didn't talk about it, you know Peter had a wife. Yes. Paul told us everybody on Peter's team was married. Everybody on Paul's team. If you're crying, Paul is sending you home. That the work is too great. I don't have time for anybody crying. Now, what I'm going to say is that he had the right to be married, but he laid down that right because he reasoned that for the kind of work he had to do, Peter didn't have that kind of work. Peter was virtually settled in one place. Then from there, he'll go here, go there. His journeys were not long to the house of Cornelius. How long was the message? One day. They finished preaching, stayed maybe a few days more, then he was back. So that whole trip, I don't know how long it takes to get from wherever he is to, from Joppa to whatever, you know that journey? I don't know. But it was not long. Even if it's 2 days journey to go, 1 week to stay there, 2 years, how many is that? Less than 2 weeks. Paul has not even settled where he went to. So it made sense for Peter to marry. But the point I make is that Paul laid that down. And what I want to teach this series is not things that are laid down. Oh, no, let me put it like this. It's not about a life that has laid things down. I want to teach about what God has given. So even if you want to lay it down, you know that it's mine. I just let it go. Do you follow my point? Even if you wish, and there's nothing wrong with that. Even if you wish to do that, but at least let us know that it is a right of a Christian and then he decided to let it go. And there are things you are not allowed to let go. It doesn't work any righteousness. Somebody say, like what? I have one in mind. Good health. Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
Yeah. You should believe God for 100% total perfect health at the age of 100. See, anytime you see a picture, actually I ran into one this afternoon. Bishop David Depo was talking about one man. Hey, I didn't catch that name. I was watching a short video of him. He was talking about a man that he heard of. And the man finally died, I think, at the age of 114. And they were friends for the last 12 years of the man's life. And the first time he heard the man preach, the man was 108. No, 103, something like that. Jonah, looks like you know the name. Okay, it was 102 when he first heard him preach. He was 102 years old when he first heard him preach. And he was writing books and writing sermons, his sermon, with his hands. Arthritis was not there. With his hands, he was writing sermons. And he was 102. Bishop said he went to look for the man. I need to know you. And please, by the way, don't go there to say, lay hands on me. I've seen that a lot of preaching like that. There's a man, lay hands on you. Laying hands on you is good, but don't go away like that. Is there something you know? There's one man I heard of. But I've heard different stories. And those men will tell you, open his mouth, say, count all my teeth. Not one is missing. Why? Because 40 years ago, I encountered the Lord. And I prayed. Are you getting my point? There was someone I even heard of. He doesn't have a strand. He said he doesn't want gray hair. He didn't get. Even though that was even in the Bible, that old men, they have gray hair. He said, I don't want. And the Lord granted him. Maybe I should start my message there. Please, nobody should make excuses for any ill health. I don't care what your experience is. If God provokes faith in you, perfect health will be your portion until you are 120, if you want to live to be 120. I keep on saying it. Old age is not a disease. What did I say?
Old age is not a disease.
Let's say it again.
Old age is not a disease.
Old age is not a disease. All the things we read about. See, I went to medical school. I know many of you, you find it hard to believe when you hear me talk. I know many of you, you're looking like, are you sure? I went. I graduated successfully. I did postgraduate successfully. And I specialized in an area where we study how things, how these diseases develop. So I know everything that, well, let me say, I won't say I know everything, but I know more than 99.9% of human beings. I know. But I also know something that's not taught in school. And that's the power of God. That's the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. I know that as believers in Christ Jesus, God has released a power. The Bible calls it the power that works towards those who believe. Paul explained there's a special arrangement on this earth for those who believe that God has prepared a particular power that works towards them. I hope you're getting my point. Remember the testimony I gave us last week? One of our brothers, a surgeon, called me. He said, sir, I just witnessed a miracle. I said, what happened? He said, I had a patient. Large tumor inside the head, just under the brain there. Booked out for surgery. Showed up one day, perfectly well. What happened? He said, my sister and I prayed. They told me the story of another man who had a problem in his spine. And he had booked for surgery. And the man showed up one day in clinic. Hey, doc, I came to see you. What is the problem? Can we postpone the surgery? Why do you want the surgery postponed? You don't want to walk? He said, actually, I've been walking all over the place. In fact, today that I came to clinic, I told the vehicle to have brought me to drop me at the gate. And the guy walked about a kilometer and a half to the doctor's clinic, from the gate of the hospital to the clinic. What happened? He said, somebody prayed for me. Not one big preacher. There is a power. Now, this story I'm telling you was last week. I told it here. But last week, Monday, in the morning, the brother just called me. He said, sir, I just witnessed a miracle. Not a story of somebody said happened to somebody. This is my patient. This one just said, my sister and I prayed. The other one said, somebody prayed for me. Paul said there is a power that is available for those who believe. I keep warning people, you know, this world, this information life, the age we are in, where information is so available. 99% of the information they post out for us is to diminish our recognition of the power of God. And once that has been diminished, the manifestation also diminishes. The more the recognition of God's power diminishes before you and I, the more the manifestation disappears. You hear what I said? So be careful. You know, I keep saying, when you see testimonies, send them around. Why? You want people to recognize the power. You see, it's about recognition. Let me say something. This world, I wish people would understand how real these spiritual principles are. No, I wish people would understand how real they are. That is, it is possible for a human being to walk on water. And if they can't walk on water, Jesus said, it's not because the laws of physics have been broken, but because of what? Unbelief. Like I said, see, I'm not trying to teach. Let me not even talk about the world generally. Let me focus on those that believe. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
Say, I'm a believer.
I am a believer.
Let's open our Bible and just read. Let it be that we read another portion. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was praying here. Verse 19. Well, let's just get around that area. From verse 15, he said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, he said, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Now, what was he praying about? I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In verse 18, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the... Now, notice it. So that you will do what? Know. That you will know. that you will know what is the hope or expectation of his calling, that you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, that's what I would just want to read. He said that, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. He said it's incredible. Hard to believe. I heard the story of one man. He was driving. Now, I didn't witness it personally, but there are stories I repeat because the people who gave them, they are very credible. And he drove off. He didn't know a bridge had fallen. So he went off the bridge into the air, which meant he was going either into the water or into the ground far below. And he cried to the Lord. And people witnessed as the car reversed by itself in the air and went back to where it was coming from. You know, the Bible calls it incredible. So hard to believe. In case you don't know, incredible means that unbelievable. That's the meaning of the word incredible. You hear things and you're like, did it really happen? People who don't believe will laugh at some of the stories you will tell. There are things that will happen, you'll be like, excuse me, can I repeat this outside? There are things that people will do. There are things that Jesus will do. Say, don't tell anybody. They won't believe it. If you tell them, they will so laugh at you, you will lose your healing. Are you getting my point? Available to the believer is an incredible. Now, the meaning of the word incredible is unbelievable. That you go and meet a young woman, her name is Mary, that you're going to have a son. He said, okay, that will be, I'm going to get married. No, no, the angel said, no, in 9 months' time. Say, ah, how's it going to happen? I'm not even married yet. So there's an incredible power that will overshadow you. You find out one day, you're sick. Next morning, you wake up. It takes you a few weeks to remember you were sick. I don't know how to get my point. That God so heals you, he makes you forget. Please don't let anybody sweet talk, or that word is not sweet talk. Just talk you out of divine power. It's available. Read the story of one woman in the book, 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. It's a very sad story. It was a good story also, but there's a sad part of it. Her heart was failing. She was walking slowly. Because her heart was failing, she couldn't move fast. She really had to take life slowly. Then one man came to their church and preached on the power of God and prayed for everybody. Next day, she went to the mall. As she was going around shopping, she forgot that she was sick. I don't get my point.
Yes, ma'am.
She forgot that she was sick. She went from one shop to the other, and she wanted to take the escalator, the motorized steps, but it was kind of full. Because she was in a hurry, she ran up the normal steps. She forgot. She forgot. By the time she realized it, she had been running around the whole day. He said, hey, wait, I'm supposed to be sick. Then she now remembered, this man prayed. Was it yesterday or a few days before that? I've not read the story in a while, but this is the main meat of it. It was now time to go and see her doctor. She's a heart patient. So she booked her appointment, of course, went to meet her appointment for the day. She got the doctor examined her and said, it looks like you have a new heart. It looks like your heart is new. And this was, this is a sad story. This is the sad part of it. The doctor said, what happened? You know, I told you two stories now. You remember those two stories? Both cases, what did they tell him? First one, he said, my sister and I prayed. The second one, he said, somebody prayed. They asked this woman, who was in Australia, what happened? She was ashamed of the gospel. How do I tell this doctor that we prayed in church? How can I open my mouth and say I'm a religious fanatic? This doctor is going to start looking at me funny. Ha, no. No, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. She thought and said to the doctor, nothing. By the end of that day,
She was back to her bed. She was back to walking slowly. She was back to the way she used to be. Some will not say that she was not really healed. It's excitement. No, excitement doesn't keep you like that. If you have heart failure and you run like that, you will die. The heart will, that's the reason why we call it failure. The heart will stop on you. In fact, see, there's no need. You will not even try it. The legs will not even go. But for her to be moving up and down like that for this, it was a sign that really God had recovered that heart for her. And she told the doctor, nothing. And you know what happened? Nothing after that. She went back to exactly how she used to be. While they wrote the book, 10,000, it took how many years? I've forgotten. 10 years. 10 years. Kudu Mufa's heart was just managing to keep going until finally one day she heard the news. Katrinkuma was praying for the sick. She now traveled 10,000 miles to go for a Katrinkuma meeting. This time around, when she got healed, she shouted it for everybody to hear. Oh, you evil spirits, you will not deny me of my miracle. 10 years is a long time to suffer like this. See, these are real things. The reason why we don't experience the power of God as much as we should is one word, unbelief. And let me define unbelief again. Okay, I'll give another definition, different from the ones I've given before. Unbelief is too many stories to tell. That's a nice definition for it. Why are you sick? You know I'm old. You know in our family, usually by the time it's June, nobody's well. Usually we'll not recover fully around September when the rain is going. The main problem is rain. My father said that our grandfather was like that. Too many stories. There are those who are still sick because their medicine has not finished. They have to finish it. They paid a lot of money. Now, you are laughing. But I'm telling you, somebody is listening to me, and that's the person's problem. After all the money I paid. You know, it sounds funny. Okay, let me tell you one experience we had in my house. One day, my cousin had a headache. There was one young woman that was living with her. So, she asked, I think she had asked that one for, help me get 2 tablets of paracetamol. So that one went to look for it. Then she asked somebody else, maybe me or somebody, but we're quicker and brought the medicine and gave to her. So she popped the 2 tablets, you know, brought them out of this and swallowed. Then that young woman returned with 2 tablets. Interestingly, she had opened it out of the pack because madam wanted to open it nicely, put it in a saucer and brought it. Sir, but this person has given me now. Oh, sorry. Then she took the 2 tablets. And I saw her. I said, where are you going? She said, I want to go and take it. I said, do you have a headache? He said, no. But I can't throw it away. That was what she told me. Now, I'm not telling you a story of somebody to somebody. I was one that was told. I said, you can't throw it away. So you will swallow it. And she was looking like, what am I supposed to do? Throw it away. I said, yes, you throw it away. What do you feel? What do you, your body's landfill for medicine? What I said, many of us laugh. There are people, God has activated faith in their heart. But before they could buy their full dose of medicine, they have spent a lot of money. So they are willing to wait for it to finish first. I know it's ridiculous, but people behave like that. And you listening to me, you did not know it was like that. Now I pointed out to you, throw away the medicine. You don't have to wait for it to finish for it to get well. If it's, even if it meant it cost you millions and millions of naira, if God heals you now, rush. Get rid of it. You don't have to finish the medicine. When you are now broke, that's when you now start believing God. What is the definition of unbelief again? Too many stories. And unbelief is very great in our generation. Because every time you open, what is it? Do people still watch TV? I don't know. Does anybody here watch TV? Television has really kind of died now. Somebody bought DSTV. I say, I don't blame you. Even myself, I go sell. People are refusing to renew subscriptions these days. They are paying Netflix, watching YouTube video, all kinds of things. Just pay for data. You can, and data is getting more and more available. Anyway, so those days, anyway, when we're still watching, when I was young, we used to watch television. Once you open the TV, somebody will explain to you why kidneys don't work well.
They will explain to you why people have dementia. And by the time you finish understanding it, you so understand the power of natural life that you have great unbelief towards spiritual life. See, unbelief is a real force. Just like faith is a real force. And listen to me, unbelief is not lack of faith.
Did you hear what I said?
Unbelief is not lack of faith. Unbelief is a force, just like faith is a force. Two of them, many times, they are in the same heart. And they are fighting each other. The Bible says the Lord separated the light from the darkness. You know why? Like people say, darkness is... No. Darkness is not the absence of light. If darkness was the absence of light, God would not have had to separate them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Darkness is not the absence of light. Darkness is a spiritual force that is introduced into your life by wrong information. Are you getting my point? So you have a duty. You have a duty to separate the light from the darkness. Unbelief is a strong force. Unbelief can kill. A healthy person will suddenly fall sick. You know, first, when we are defining unbelief as Christians, we are defining it in respect to the promise of God or the promises of God. So a friend of mine told me once, he called me, he said, Banky, I just killed somebody. I said, what do you mean you killed somebody? You're a doctor, you don't kill. You know? I mean, I knew he was joking. Tell me, what happened? He said, I told the patient he was going to die. And now he's dead. I said, was he not going to die? He said, no, not that fast. He said, the day he came to the clinic, he had been feeling kind of not well. So I tested him. And next time he came to the clinic, he said he came from work to come and see me. And I told him he had a particular cancer and that there's no treatment. It's going to get worse. And that, sorry, we can't cure you. There's nowhere in the world there's any treatment for this. So a few weeks down the line, the patient came back again. So this time around, he was very sick. He said, before I had my discussion with him, he was going to work. So this time, he was very sick. A few weeks after that, he was dead. So when he saw the man had died, that's when they called me. He said, I just killed somebody. I said, how did he do it? He said, I told him he was going to die. And he died. Of course, there are many ways we can start explaining. Maybe what happened, maybe. Let me not sit on that. I'll tell you on that story. This time around, there was no maybe. This happened, I think, in the United States. I heard a doctor being interviewed on one of these big international networks or channels. He said that he has a new habit. I don't take hope away from my patients. He said, what do you mean? He said, whatever happens, I try my best to give hope to the patients I'm taking care of. And brethren, hope is very important in life. Let me remind you again, hope is very important. You should have good expectation for your life. Derek Prince says that a Christian by commandment must be an optimist. See, I discuss with people sometimes. Some of them are supposed to be Christians. But when I hear them talk, I say that they are really backslidden. I'm sorry to say it like that. You see the worst of every situation. Before, I used to wonder why I was the opposite. Now, in recent years, I began to understand that it's this infilling of the Spirit that helped us. I always saw the best of every situation. If I'm not feeling well, I expect to get well. I just believe that, look, in a few days, this will be over. No matter how bad it is, I fully expect, like Paul would say, deliverance through prayer and the supply of the Spirit. I believe that weeping may endure for a night, but this joy is coming in the morning. I believe in every situation, good is coming for me at the end of it. The reference said that is a commandment for Christians. You must have a positive attitude. You must expect good. And I know that is true because life has, see, as you are sitting down there, you have magnetic characteristics attracting and repelling things. There are forces that you are generating that are deciding what is coming and what is going. Don't let anybody take hope away from you. Your child is sick, continue to pray and say, good is coming. Continue to pray. Good is coming. You must have a positive, you must have good expectation concerning your life in every situation. One prayer I pray to God is, I don't want to get to heaven one day, and there are things I didn't experience in life, or I didn't live as long as I was supposed to live, and it's because of my own belief. That is the cry in it. Pray whichever prayer you need to pray. God must help you get rid of unbelief. Don't make allowance for bad things. Refuse to rest in what is bad. One of my chiefs used to tell me those days in Lagos. Military man, not a believer, but a very wise man. In fact, then I used to say he was the wisest person I ever met. We're in the same office. We're both doing residency, but he was much older than us and more accomplished in life. He was a senior military officer. He said, maybe something is happening like this. We can do it like this. We can manage. He said, don't manage it. I said, why not, sir? He said, because you will get used to it. He said, when you manage, you tend to get used to managing. I never forgot it. What is the right thing? You tell him, say, get it done. Get the right thing placed there. Learn the proper procedure. He said, because if you keep on doing this way, before you know what's happening, you've gotten used to it. Let me get back to my story. The man said, I don't take hope away from my patients. And what was his reason? He said, because he had a patient, and the patient was missed. Now, let me summarize it. Was misdiagnosed. That's what is called misdiagnosis. You said the patient, he has disease A, B, C. Meanwhile, he has nothing, or what he has is X, Y, Z. And these things are so real. Have you ever heard of placebo effect? No, have you ever heard of placebo? Okay, if you have heard of placebo, just like this. Okay. Surprising. A lot of people have not heard of it. No. So placebo effect is that, let me put it like this, the cure you get, thinking you are taking medicine. Meanwhile, you're not taking anything. You treat the patient with ordinary water and he gets well. And you think that he wasn't sick. He was really sick. He had a serious sickness. He just came every day, gave injection, ordinary water. Then you're going to take it for 3 weeks. And the third week, he gets started running up and down. It's called the placebo effect. For those who don't know, I thought everybody knew about it. All right? Now you've learned it now. All right? Now, just by the way, placebo effect, anyway, let me not talk much about that. Because for many, in fact, a lot of people who criticize faith healing, you understand? They keep on insisting it's placebo effect. But really, placebo effect, there are things you will see, but this will not be placebo. Like the one I was telling you about, brain tumor overnight, it's not placebo. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. Now, why am I talking about it? It's what they call the opposite, the nocebo effect. A lot of people know placebo, they don't know nocebo. Nocebo effect is the opposite. People have been found to be sick for no reason, other than the fact that somebody told them there's an epidemic. And they're not just, now let me tell you something, this is very strange. They're not just feeling sick. You test them, the tests in their body show they are sick. You do real tests and they are sick. Let me tell you the spiritual side of it. The human spirit is very powerful. It can shake off illnesses. It can collect real illnesses. So, see, I use that one to just explain the fact that don't just think life is physical. So the part now, above all of this, what is called the power of God. Because what happens in life is that you can, Satan is real, the world is real, there's this real spirit, it's called the spirit of darkness. It goes around, he can talk people out of faith. By the time he's talking you out of faith, you can't get anything from God. Because spiritual things, that's why I give the example of placebo and nocebo. And that's just the elementary level on human mind level. But when it comes to the power of God level, the spiritual level, the real spiritual level, it's even more real. John G. Lake will tell the stories of when he was treating plague. Everybody was catching. He told them, I can't catch it. There's a spirit in me that kills every virus, every bacteria that comes along my way. So everybody's surprised. The bacteria really were dying when they touched him. He said, don't worry, I'm going to be fine. There's a man I quote his story. I first heard it from Corey Blake. That American general, Confederate Army, Stonewall Jackson. His name, it was a general in the Confederate Army, the Southern Army in America. The man used to move anyhow in battle. You know what they call battle? Just be moving anyhow. And they are shooting, shooting. You won't dodge. He said, for what? His faith was so strong. He said, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. And there were testimonies of bullet holes in his clothes. The man was never injured. I've forgotten his real name. In fact, nobody remembers his real name. They call him Stonewall Jackson. The Stonewall is a nickname that used to stand like a wall made of stone in the midst of battle. Why won't you duck? He said, what is the problem? If I'm in the will of God, he said, safety is my portion. Stonewall faith used to deflect bullets and made him literally impenetrable. The other people, were the one that gave him the name, Stonewall. He wasn't going around bragging about it. They gave him the name Stonewall. He said, if I am in the will of God. Please, brethren, there is a power that is available if we believe. There is a power that is available if we believe. The power is available. The only way, listen, only unbelief. No, Peter was... See, literally, a man stepped out and was crossing water. Now, it's not even the fact that he crossed the water that was my issue. It's that when he finally sank, Jesus did not refer to physics as the reason. He didn't. His emphasis was, why did Peter sink? He said, why did you doubt? Another definition for doubt is shift of focus. Shift of focus. When you take your eyes away from the Lord and His Word, and you start looking, see, there are a few chat groups where I mean that, most chat groups I'm in, right? They are focused, like my neighborhood. Our chat must be on security issue, want to raise money for something, you have to be aware of an announcement. Anyone that you bring, the admins are always deleting chats. Always deleting. You bring a joke, they delete it for you. We are not here to laugh. They tell you, go and post it somewhere else. And belong to that kind of chat group. I have a much professional chat group where everything is medical. Alright? The only chat group I belong in, where everybody talks, they talk here up and down, is my classmates. All of that chat group, I mean, they are Christians, they are believers, like my alumni fellowship. So everybody can talk in that place. But the only place where I have unbelievers, and they all talk, and I'm forced to listen, is with my classmates. Do you know, there are people amongst them, I don't read their chats. As they post something, click, 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 I delete. The same videos, I delete. You know why? Because, in fact, there was something we said the other day. There are those who seem, and it's so funny, and most of these people, they don't even live in Nigeria. It's as if every day, it's important to them, they show to you, you are suffering. And your country is getting worse. And the funny part is that, all those who do it in my class, only one lives in the country. Other ones I can think of, they don't live here. Hey, APC has done this. Oh, hey, economy has gone. Inflation, it goes up. They will post it to you. You will never see somebody who lives in Nigeria tell me the inflation rate apart from one guy. One day I said, okay, have you noticed that you are the ones complaining? We that are supposed to be suffering, we are not. He said, we have buried our head in the sand. Have you noticed that we are comfortable inside the sand? And you, do you follow my point? Why don't, no, I'll be honest, my wife knows. There are people just, but there's one guy, see, and this thing about unbelief, it's not just when they give you news of economy and all of that, even pictures. Somebody was killed on the road. Why are you watching it? What are you watching it for? You want to kill somebody? Are you learning? There's nothing inside it to tell you how to defend yourself. You know, every day, you see all kinds. I've seen small children going on the road. A rabid dog bites them. They forgot to tell their parents until they get rabies and they die. Yes, I've seen. So when my children started living home on their own, what do you think? You know, because of my profession, I've seen all kinds of rubbish. Seen all kinds of. This one I'm telling you, it really happened when I was in school. Still remember that little boy. So when my children started going around, what do you think I did? Hey, we are buying dog spray. Hey, no! What I just did, and I still do. My son was telling me the other day that this happened. He was crossing the road. One guy was overtaking. It was in the middle of the road. The guy went on the wrong. On the express. I said, eh? People are crazy. Sha, can then I still consciously, the last thing I told him was, don't worry, Sha. God will always protect you. The driver that wants to jam my children when they are crossing, he's about to enter the bush. Because no matter, I refuse to panic. I refuse to give in to panic. I teach my kids what I had to teach them, but I constantly give them. Let me tell you, angels will kill dogs for their sake. Angels are real. They are not figments of our imagination. The day I preached about angels here, and brethren started telling me the angel story. That's when I even looked back. As I remember realizing the angels that have come into my own life, I thought they were human beings. I started looking back and saying, no, that must have been an angel, or at least a human being possessed by the spirit to rescue me. My friend who was, that was the most dramatic. He was going to the redeem. Redeem was the 100-day fast. So he was not eating. And he was driving long distances in the north. Those days before the days of ban, this is long ago. Long, long ago. Nothing less than 15 to, no, up to 20 years now. Then suddenly, pum, his tire went, it blew out. Instantly, not like, he just blew out. He was alone. Said, park the car. He was weak and tired. How do I jack the vehicle up? Two Fulani men speaking perfect English appeared from nowhere. Oga, what's the problem? Oh, your tire. I said, no, sit down, sit down, sit down. They had him sit down. I said, did they ask him for anything? Where was his jack? Did not ask. They removed the jack, jacked the vehicle. There they were two. Changed the tire and put it back. And he was sitting inside the car. When they were done, he said, Oga, we're done. You can go now. He thanked them. Now, this was the days when, I can't remember the exact amount, but there was not these big notes were not available that time. He said, this money I remember, let me just say 100 naira. Say, I remember I had two of them. I gave the man one, put one in my pocket. He said, I drove, he got to Kano. Then he parked and looked, and his money was sitting right beside him. Okay, he said, no, before he left, as he moved his car to just okay, to say bye-bye, he didn't see anybody. And his mind, he told me, Mr. Bank, you've been to the north. Had the ground normally open. He said, where could they have disappeared to? He didn't see them. He didn't think anything of it until he parked and he looked. And his money was sitting just beside him, right there. He said, then goose pimples caught him. Then he realized he had been rescued by two angels. These are real things. My desire, I want to have a conscious awareness of the things of the spirit. The world makes it look like it's a game of chance. It's not too. Especially when you are believers. I'm talking to believers, please. Let me forget the world. For believers, there is a power available. There is a power available. There is a power, Bible says, is incredible. It protects people in the midst of trouble. It does. My friend said there was crisis. He prayed. He went into his room to pray. Then suddenly he felt somebody was there with him. Then he turned and he looked. And he saw the fellow. Said the guy was smiling. He said he was so tall, his head had to be bent to fit into his room. Big guy. He said black. But according to him, very beautiful. He said if you call him handsome, that does not describe him. Said the only word I can use is his was beautiful. Beautiful. And he folded his hand and leaned against the door. Filled the door, closed the door, and had a smile on his face and was looking at the man praying. Said he was startled. I mean, imagine you're sitting down here and the man stands at this door and his head is touching this ceiling. Said, but the guy had a smile on his face. He said the smile was nice and reassuring. And he turned to ask, who are you? Before he could ask, he heard the answer. And inside him, he heard, that's your guardian angel. He said, then, a peace you could not explain came upon him. All the noise and trouble and threats outside, he knew there was no trouble. These are real things. See, every day, 10 people kidnapped, 8 killed. Answer. What did I say? No, what did I say?
Answer.
Always answer. He will surround me as a mountain surrounds Jerusalem. So the Lord surrounds his people. You answer as it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Say, if I was there, I will be delivered. That's how these guys, they came to the bush, that our side, the Toku side. Four of them, armed men. That they are headsmen, whatever, you know, those guys that come from far. Entered the hospital premises and picked one doctor. They were strategic. It was evening. Was on duty, telling quickly get out to get something. And he was driving out. He saw two guys in front with their guns and they fired into the air in front of him. So he stopped his car, decided to back up. By the time he started backing up, he saw two behind, armed also. So he dumped the car, jumped out and ran into the bush. And that's the area. They pursued him and they caught him. And the noise was everywhere. So his people went to start praying. Let's make a long story short. At night, of course, he couldn't sleep. They put him in a kind of tent. It's a very strong one. There's a way they built it. And they surrounded him. But he couldn't sleep. He still sat there. You are thinking of your wife. He's a married man with children. And he was thinking. Then he observed something. They ate. They smoked. And all slept. He waited for a while. Is this a trap? After a while, he decided to try and dig through a particular hole and all of that, and nobody shifted. The angel of God had blown upon them. They had gone into deep sleep. You know, he crawled out of the place and started walking. He walked the whole night until he got to one footpath, followed it, got to a village, saw a forest guard. First thing, please, get me a phone. First, call his wife. Okay, I'm fine. We were praying. God answered. By morning, he was free. That's why at that time, I told you, we're going home. Everybody, my wife, all my children were in the car, apart from my oldest son. All of us. They said, the road you are traveling is a dangerous one. I didn't even realize how bad it was. Because when we go there, I seen, armed, local guards and all of that. I said, my mother-in-law, blessed memory, said, should I get you, two mobile policemen? I looked, I said, I reasoned. My car is full, my whole family. So if they were attacking, even if there are two, and they start shooting, it's not my vehicle they will be shooting. Even if policemen manage to shoot back and dislodge them, what if a bullet hits somebody in my car? I said, no. Enter the car. I said, children, everybody repeat after me. There's none like the God of Israel who rise the heaven to my help, to our help, and to the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is our dwelling place. And underneath us are his everlasting arms. He has driven out the enemy from before us. He said, let destruction overtake them. Therefore, we dwell in safety. We dwell in a land of green and new wine. And the heaven over us will drop down dew. I said, let us go. The angels of God will go in front, they will go behind. It was when I passed through that place, I said, this is why I'm not joking. You know, it starts seeing barricades, armed people. When we finish at home, time to return. As I hit the express, I parked again. I said, people, let's invoke, and learn to invoke. I told you, we have our own juju. The word of God is our own juju. Not a joke here. I said, learn to invoke. I packed the car, everybody. After me again, we recited it, let's go. Then start driving. That's why with all this crisis, I know there's crisis here and there. My guys did not stop moving. It's still the same thing. There's none like the God of Israel who raised the heavens to our help and through the skies in his majesty. See, these things are real. It's not a game of chance. See, they tell us enough stories of bad things. Eh? We don't realize that in the midst of fire, God is still delivering people. Still delivering people. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the last people who deliver from fire? So anytime you hear news of bad things, you know the truth? This is the painful part, but it's true. It's in the Bible that you will hear it with your ears. Do you get my point? Yeah, don't let it scare you. Open your Bibles. Psalm 91. I mean, is it not there in your scriptures? I'm just going to go down there straight. Okay, say with your eyes, sorry. Go to verse 7. Okay, it said, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. It's at your side. Say, you only look on with your eyes and see. So, it will happen that you will see, that you will hear. But in the name of Jesus, these evils will not come upon you.
Amen.
They will not come upon your household.
Amen.
He says he will give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You know what the Bible says? He will be with you in verse 10 in trouble. He will rescue you and you will honor him. And with a long life, he will satisfy you and let you see his salvation. Anytime you hear bad news, what did I say? You must answer. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Even when they are joking, you jokingly answer too. I told you once, that's a few months ago, about 2-3 months now, one of my seniors came to town. People are older than you. Out of courtesy, respect, you can't answer them. Say, this country is finished. I will laugh. I say, hey, no problem, I will restart it. That's finished? We will restart it. Say, these old people, the politicians, they have sold us. I say, hey, no problem, sir. We'll buy it back. There's no future for any young person in this country again. It's true, sir. But we are creating a new future in the name of the Lord. After I was saying, hey, back here. I say, yes, ma. Now joke now. No, we joke with it. You joke your own one way. I joke my own the other way. But I will not be silent. I will not be silent. I will not be silent. Let me tell you something, eh? We are all in. You know, when God says, you bet everything you have. Yes, I have put everything I have in faith. I will follow it to the end. You won't scare me away. I would rather die believing God. Yes. Let it be that, about God, I did all I was supposed to do. The rest is in your hands. If they say there are giants in the land, I will run at the giants. I will carry my dagger. See a giant with javelin in his hand and a big shield. I was like, yeah! Then before I reach him, I close my eye and raise the dagger. You know what happened? At the end, you know you will discover. It was an illusion. You know, I saw something one day. When I saw the video, it was very interesting. Some Maasai's, they wanted to eat meat. So they waited for a lion that killed his meat. Killed one roebuck. They waited for the lion to eat some. After eating a little bit, let him eat. Then they got up. Three of them started walking towards the lion without breaking stride. All they had, I think, was one knife and their staff. And they started walking towards the lion. The commentator said that they can't show any fear. You know, the adversary, the devil, goes around like what? Like run. He said, they can't show any fear. You too must show no fear. Three of them were walking towards the lion. The lion stopped eating, looked at them. They didn't stop. They kept advancing. The lion dropped the meat, took a step back. They did not stop. They kept advancing. They finally, the lion ran. A real big lion ran away. He ran far. I went behind one tree. I was looking at them. They got there, one of them expertly bent down, caught a large chunk of the meat, put on his shoulders, and three of them turned again, and they kept on marching without breaking their stride. And the commentator said, no, that's it. You must show no fear. If they show panic, the lion will attack. And these guys were so confident, they wanted food. They just went there to get food. They scared away a whole lion, and turned back, and walked away. With a huge chunk of the lion's kill in their hand, they put it on their shoulder. One huge chunk piece of, a big chunk of meat. And they should have walked away. Confident. The lion said, man, I don't want trouble for myself. That's what I mean. If God says you can take the land, it's better to die trying to take the land than to die uselessly in the wilderness. Put in your mind, dying you shall die. So die obeying God. You will discover that actually you will not die until the time God had ordained. Yes, you will find out that nothing bad will happen to you. You know, one thing made me laugh. I told that my classmates, some of them, they will yap the country every day, yap the country every day. The funny part is that every time I have cause to go around, like one of my friends came recently. My wife and I went to Abuja to go and stay with him, you know, right? Because he may not want to come to the east. Of course, he wasn't going to come, so we went. So we went around visiting. I told my wife, I said, did you notice something? There's nowhere he visited that anybody amongst our classmates and even others, there was none that was poor. None. I said, with all the complain. I'm talking for my own classmates. I mean, I left university long ago. With all the wine over the years, we have not become poorer for being Nigerian. None. If you rank the rich ones, I mean, counting money, it's thoroughly mixed. Somewhere in the U.S., but the richest is here. In fact, there's one of my class who would laugh. She was down and say, hey, see billionaire down. She's a literal billionaire. You count it in dollars, you count hundreds of millions of dollars. Cash, that's how. The Lagos and Abuja here. I noticed that nobody got poorer. None. Yeah, they are abusing every day. So those who are abusing, the rest of people in Nigeria, they laugh. All they do is laugh. Hey, this your country is finished. They will burst into laughter. Until you enter their homes. Why am I talking about it? With all the noise of the decades, I found that my guys here, they didn't get poorer. So when they want to scare you away from your inheritance, don't keep quiet. Answer. That woman said to me that day, hey, this country, it's finished. I said, we'll restart it. They will sold it, we'll buy it back. I made sure everyone she said, I had it. Najoko. You talk your own, I talk my own. Do you know they've kidnapped me before? God will protect us. It won't happen again. Yes. She said so. At that day, the boys were... So the angel of God will keep on watching. Oh, what are we going to do? We won't stay at home now. It's coming from a nearby town. I had to go by air to here to here. I said, man, I do this same place every other month. I enter into my motor. I put on messages and I drive. 4 hours, I've gone to where I'm going. You use 2 days to go, 2 days to come. And 10 times the amount of cash I spend. Faith has value. It has value. See, don't let anybody use fear to drive you away from your inheritance. See, if you decide to believe God, you make your decisions. You know, remember the story I told last time about one of our sisters who sent me a message that they were in church. They said, does anybody have a testimony of the Holy Spirit telling you to do something that is unreasonable? And one woman put up her hand and said, I do. I wanted to take a job. I needed a job. I got a job for 50,000. Another one for 150. I was about to take the one for 150. And somebody gave me a book written by one Pastor Banky, titled How to Work for God. I read it and realized that the Holy Spirit was indicating that the job that pays less is the one that's more appropriate, as the one the Lord wants me to take. That's why I took it. And the person giving a testimony by now is doing business in large sums. So this is our sister now walked over to the lady. I said, do you know the person who wrote the book? Said, no, never heard of him. She didn't even know that we preached. Just saw a book. I said, let me introduce you to him now. And I introduced her to our messages. Where I'm going is that they asked her, what have you ever, give a testimony of something the Holy Spirit made you do that's unreasonable. So I took a job of 50,000 instead of the one for 150 on a monthly basis. And my life changed along the line. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg for bread. I've explained it here before. What does it mean, righteous? People have been thinking that the man who does not steal, I'm not saying the righteous people steal. I didn't say that's not what I mean. The one that's always going to church. I'm not saying righteous people don't go to church. That's not what I mean. That is not what defines righteousness.
from the so-called Old Testament till now, righteousness has always been by faith. It's called the righteousness of God. What David meant when he said it is that those who are truly righteous, who are they? Romans chapter 4, Paul explained it to us, that it is to those who believe. He says, not written only for Abraham, but written for all those who will believe, just like Abraham did. That is, those who make their choices. As I told you the story of that woman, who believe God, and as a result, they do things that are unreasonable. He said, I've never seen them forsaken, or their children beg for bread. Yet, there have been very rich people who their children begged for bread. I hope I get my point. Nobody will scare us away from our inheritance. We will not let it happen. Never. We won't let it happen. When they say one thing, we'll answer. Your possession must be possessed. You will do actively. You will do it by faith. And that's what I'm trying to teach today. That's what I'm trying to teach. That listen, you know, this mouth must express the faith. How does righteousness come? With the mouth, with the heart. The one believes, resulting in what? Righteousness. Then with the mouth, confession is made, resulting in what? Salvation. What is salvation? It's healing. What's salvation? Deliverance from death. What is salvation? Deliverance from poverty. What is the salvation? Deliver from premature failure or death, from failure. That's the meaning of salvation. With the heart, you accept fully what God has said. And when somebody talks, even if we have to joke about it, we'll use this mouth to say our portion, our inheritance. Say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare it, I have been redeemed. When they say this country is failing, they say, it will wait until I have prospered. It will wait until I have succeeded. It will wait until my children have done the will of God. It will wait until my grandchildren have fulfilled the destiny that God proposed for them. Because the blessing of God must go. Anyone truly believes God? 3 generations. Anyone truly believes God? 3 generations. It's always the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's the way it goes. He said, my words that I have put in your mouth, 1st generation, will not only be on your mouth, will be on the mouth of your seed, 2nd generation, and your seed, 3rd generation. I, 1st generation, pray for them, 2nd generation. Not only for them, but for those who will believe by their words, 3rd generation. You believe God, your grandchildren will be blessed. You believe God, your grandchildren will be blessed. What's the prayer need that we are saying? Anytime somebody says something, it's your inheritance, you collect it. You collect it with your own confession. They said the land is hard. You will say, if God is with us, we will overcome. That is how we possess our possessions. Let me say to you again. I've said it before. Somebody needs to hear it again. Death is not a game of chance. I'm talking to believers. There is a power that stops bullets that's hanging around you. There is a power that heals all kinds of diseases. There is. It is by faith. You have a duty to use faith. See, let me tell you all that God does. When he wants to give the promised land, he will come and say, it's done. As far as he's concerned, it is done. You know, if you remember that time when Peter walked on water, those men didn't understand Jesus Christ. If they did, they didn't have to be afraid. It was not necessary to be afraid. You know why? Because Jesus sent them to the other side. That time that he was sleeping on the boat, there was no need to be afraid. Do you know why? If they knew who Jesus was, he told them, let us go to the other side. What they should have told them when the storm began, they should have just said, let's keep rowing. Why? Say, with my prayer, say, no, we can't preach. Now, Peter, calm down. How can we preach? The Lord said, let us go to the other side. Say, this other side, though, we go reach. Let me wake the Lord up and say, it's not necessary. There's a reason why he slept. The reason that he had given a word that could carry them. He had given a word. You know, what we need is to understand the Lord. And that was what Abraham did.
That was what Abraham did. Because when God said to him, in Isaac will your seed be, he now said that this Isaac will sacrifice him. He said that must be that he wants to raise him from the dead. Because he said. Brethren, what he said is what you need to know. What he said is what you need to know. He said, because he himself has said, therefore there are things you must boldly say. Open to the book of Hebrews. Just to quote it, I just want to read out what I just quoted now. Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 5. He said, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently, if you have King James, so that you boldly say, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. He said, what will man do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will a bad economy do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What does not having an advanced university degree do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can an epidemic do to me? The Lord is my helper. See, let me tell you, brethren, we did this series that time. How to deliver yourself from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What you need to do as a child of God is to place yourself on the path of faith. What did I say?
Place yourself on the path of faith.
You need to place yourself on the path. See, faith leads somewhere. One thing about faith is that, see, by the time each generation starts seeing the results of the faith of some, it's too late for people in that generation to enter. Did you hear what I said? Some of the dangerous doctrines that people don't like to preach. God doesn't serve the abundance of blessing to a generation until the fullness of the number that's supposed to enter has entered. They are waiting for the, what do you call, the bridegroom. Did you notice that there's no banquet and the door is locked? Ten virgins, five foolish, five wise. Go and read it. There was no banquet until the door was locked. The master planned a feast. He entered the hall. It was empty. He said, go to the road. Go and bring people. Abi? It was only after he had filled the seat and closed the door that he began to serve. See, when John the Baptist came, he came with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. After, John the Baptist, I don't know how long ago, nothing less than 10 years was baptizing. You will remember, number one, he was a spiritual troublemaker from his youth. Do you remember that? Okay, you don't know. Because he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. At the age of 2, he was already telling, Mommy, don't tell lies. As soon as he could talk, he was rebuking sin in the household. As soon as the young man could speak, which was early, because the Spirit makes you speak in tongues. Since the time he was small, he was already rebuking sin in the household. Then when they entered the wilderness and began to shout, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't know how long it took. My estimate is nothing less than 10 years. God kept on rebuking people. As soon as Jesus came, he said concerning Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. Jesus carried his ministry on for some time. After that, Jesus shut the door. All those who were fighting John started fighting Jesus Christ. They couldn't help it. The door for their generation was closed. They could not help it. Once he began those miracles, all those old people, they couldn't believe again. It was too late to believe. You didn't visit John, or at least towards the tail end, you should have visited the disciples of Jesus when they were baptizing. With the baptism they learned from John. But you didn't go there, you're on your own. In case you were wondering why he went to a pool, five porches full of the sick, the lame, and all of that. He picked on one person. Take up your bed. He said, do you want to be made whole? Sir, I have no man. Wait, take up your bed, your pallet, and walk. The spirit of faith jumped into that man. He obeyed. The spirit entered into me and set me on my feet when he spoke to me. That's what happened. How do you take up your bed and walk when you need people to carry you there? Except that the spirit entered into you. Once it began that, don't worry. All those who were fighting John the Baptist, they just carried the fight over to Jesus Christ. You know what I'm talking about that? Everybody put yourself, put your feet on the path of faith. You cannot wait to start seeing the results everywhere before you start believing. By that time, I shall not say more. So that is why this word is coming forth now, telling everybody, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does it mean? Faith. I've told you before, faith and repentance, they go together. Every time you hear a word, look, you get home, you bother to kneel down and pray. God will tell you, this is a point of repentance for you, in which you start realigning your life to fit the life of faith. Do it now. Literally, tomorrow may be too late. But the word of the Spirit to you today is that everyone that puts himself, puts herself on the path of faith will never be disappointed. Amen. That's the charge of the Spirit. Very important. You will look, when you are making your decisions, you will look foolish. When you are making the adjustment, it's very personalized, very personalized. I don't have anything to say to everybody commonly. Each person will know, this is where I'm making my adjustment. That woman was on choosing salary jobs. For some, it's on choosing who to marry or not to marry. For many, it's in how I run my business. For many, it is where I relocate or do not relocate or refuse to locate, whether I'm going to Egypt from Gera. There are many things. And it will look foolish to the wise of this world. It's called the path of faith. That's a small word from the Spirit. Let me get back to my message. My message is that, oh boy, oh girl, God, the only thing he does is that he tells you, I have given you. And the first thing you need to do is say, yes, he has given me. Let me tell you, once, no false prophet. How many people have been following, what do you call it? The error of the prophet. Aha, I'm seeing hands. Oh, I'm seeing hands all over. Oh, good. And if you are listening from out there, you're not following the error of the prophet, it's not too late. Get your podcast app. Look for Pastor Banky in 10. We are talking about the error of the prophets. Don't let any prophet deceive you. This is the word of the Lord to every believer, to the one that believes. Every ancestral curse in your life has been broken.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Every ancestral curse in your life has been broken.
Amen.
See, there are prayers you need to pray based on, but I'm telling you, on this one, prayer is not necessary. Except you mean thanksgiving to be a form of prayer. Except you mean, of course, it's a form of prayer. Except you mean confession of the truth of the word of God to be a form of prayer. But I begin to break. It's not necessary. See. Don't put yourself in trouble. When you go to church, I want pastor say, come forward now. There's somebody here. 3 generations, they've been dying early. I want to break it. Don't get up. If you do, you will die early. I know what I'm telling you. No. But please listen to error of the prophet. They don't understand. Anybody who wants to give you word of knowledge and wants to tell you in your father's house, he must say that and now start arranging it side by side what God did for you in Christ. If he doesn't do it, he's blind. I saw one man of God the other day talking and I laughed. This is why I laughed. I don't know whether I should tell you why I laughed. Okay. He said that the realm of the spirit is very complicated. The little people go in there, they get confused. So you have to be careful. Does that make sense? I mean, there's no catch. Does that not make sense? You know why I laughed? I felt like telling him that you have been going in there and you too, you are confused. That's why I laughed. I told my wife, I said, wait, now, if you listen to his own advice. Because I've heard him say a lot about the realm of the spirit. And he's now warning others, don't go there. If you go there, you'll be confused. I feel like I said, sir, but you went there and came back with this same confusion you are warning us about. You know why? Because, you see, anybody that enters there and they start seeing things and they don't see Jesus, they are confused. When they describe your life the way it used to be, they don't describe what it is now in Christ. They are confused. So, do you follow my point? That's the problem. So, when they see that in actual fact, your uncle didn't make it to the age of 58. Your father died at 52. One of your... And they finished doing all of that. They now say, now you will come. See, they've spoiled it. They should have said, if any man is in Christ, because the Bible says, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Paul even said, even if you knew Jesus Christ after the flesh, henceforth we know him thus no longer. There's only one thing we know. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new, in fact, literally say, wow, a new creation has happened. Old premature deaths have passed away. New life now has come. So if anybody wants to call you forward, this is what he should do. Say, there is somebody here. Look back over three generations. Nobody, no man has lived for 6 decades in your family. This is the word of the Lord to you. The day you believed, the curse was broken in your life. One of my children posted something on his or her status recently. When I saw it, I shouted, woo! He said, it ran in the family until it ran into me. What? I saw it. I said, oh my God. Said, it ran in the family. Somebody drew something in it. Said, it ran in the family until it ran into me. Brethren, it has run into you. It can't run anymore. Because it ran into you. Why? Because in Christ, it's broken. The realm of the spirit is confusing. Until you drink of the Spirit, the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So they tell, oh, you know, I see a lot of people. Don't be moved. Please go and listen. Follow that series now. The era of the prophets. I've seen all kinds of testimonies. People can say, ah, that girl, that day as I was preaching, I saw. The other man said, it's confusing. And I saw where they were lighting candles. And you see, they had buried her destiny in the midst of the candles. If you're like that, come forward. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Never go forward unless you have not believed. Because that testimony is incomplete. If it was complete, the person would have laughed and say, he would have said, you have escaped. Like the bird out of the snare. You have escaped. The Lord has frustrated them. He won't try to break anything. Because if he tries, his hand will break. Don't mess with the Lord. What are you breaking? I have broken it. Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Describe to them what the Lord has done for them. The Lord has turned again their captivity. Tell them to laugh. If you're a preacher, I'm telling you what to do. When you see sin, all of that, say the prayer. And if the person says, it's not born again, you can't break it. Another thing, let me just warn you. Stop breaking things that are not breakable. They can't be broken. There is no power on this earth to break an ancestral curse. It doesn't exist. God has not granted it to anybody. All these prophets going around breaking it, they are doing business. Where is the breakometer? With which you will know they have successfully broken. You don't know. They just say, it is one funny guy like that did. He was going from person to person. In your family, nobody has made it. You are the first to want to make it. Now they are fighting you. It is over, it is over, it is over. Ah, that one will fall down. And it was going for person to person. Later, it is over, it is over. I saw, guys, it's not over. Stop telling lies. It's not over. There was nothing wrong in their family. There's nothing wrong in everybody's family. Do you have a billionaire in your family? Your grandfather, was he a billionaire? Your father, a billionaire? Great-grandfather, a billionaire? It's over, it's over, it's over. What is over? He said, ask me, Pastor, what is over? Pastor, what is over? What is over? What is over? There's nothing that's over. That is not the letter by the only. Leave those people. Leave those people. God doesn't break ancestral curses. He changes lineage. He doesn't have time to be breaking it. He takes you from one lineage to another. He changes your name. Say, henceforth, you'll be known by my name. Say, I know your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite, but henceforth, I call you a citizen of Zion. He doesn't have time to be breaking curses. He breaks you away from the curses. The curse can stay. Anyone that will not give his life to Christ is permanently bound under that curse. There's nothing you can do. But those who have given their lives to Christ, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Brethren, take a minute and say so. Say, I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I have been set free. Now take a minute and say so. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. You need to say it. Keep on saying it. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I have been forgiven. See, as you are saying it, a new heart is being created for people. In the chest of those saying it, the heart is receiving strength. The kidneys are receiving strength. Genetic problems are being fixed. Genetic problems are being fixed. I speak to someone who has been afflicted because of something genetic. I say, in the name of Jesus, you have been set free. Amen. Recognize it, that's all. He said, you shall know the truth. That's what you are getting to do now. Knowing the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You have been set free by the Lord Jesus. Now you have been made free because you are acknowledging the truth. Grace and peace is multiplied through the acknowledgement. When you acknowledge that I have been set free. No, you need to declare, say, I have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. All things have passed away. I'm not addicted to anything. Every addiction has been broken. There is a spirit of life, an awesome power available to those who believe. I believe. I need you to shout it. I believe. I believe. Say that I believe. 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 You know what? That makes power available to you. Say, the resurrection power of Christ is mine. Yes. He's healing me. He's setting my mind right. He's pouring his blessing upon my children. And my children's children. Say, I believe. Because I believe. The resurrection power of Jesus is working in me. I will never settle for less. I receive abundance. All my needs are met because I believe. Today I attack, see, with this faith we attack every disease, every affliction in your body. We command it, go to where you belong, which is old place, not the pit of hell. No, mercy has driven you away. Because in Christ Jesus, this one has been set free. In Christ Jesus, this one has been set free. Brethren, I don't care the kind of sickness. From ordinary skin rash to a brain tumor, you have been set free. I'll give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. We'll continue praying next time. Let's just go home today. Say, Lord, we thank you. Give the Lord thanks. Like Derek Prince will say, one major sign that you believe is thanksgiving. Because if you are not saying thank you, you're not grateful. If you're not grateful, maybe you don't believe. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Just say thank you. Say thank you to Jesus. Say, Lord, we thank you.
Let's thank the Lord for all that He has done for us, and we walk in the reality of it. Let's thank the Lord because these things are true. They are not stories. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.